Olá.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the June 13th, 2023 meeting of the University City City Council to order at 6:30. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Thank you very much. You have before you the agenda. During the study session, no one had requested any changes to the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented? Motion made by Mr. Hales, seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have before us no proclamations. You have before you the May 8th, 2023 study session minutes of MSD. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fuller. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the May 8th, 2023 regular minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the May 22nd, 2023 regular meetings. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. I will abstain from this one as I was absent. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no appointments, no swearing in. We'll turn to the citizen comment section. For those of you who are in the audience, if you have not picked up a form and you would like to speak, please make sure you pick up a form, fill it out for either an agenda item, which agenda item it is, or a non-agenda item, and then place it in the box. The city clerk will then provide it to me. We have 15 minutes here in the beginning of the program, then we have additional time at the end of the meeting as well for comments. When you come to the microphone, please give your name and address and limit your comments to 5 minutes. The first request to speak we have this evening is Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, 751 Syracuse. There's still various streetlights out around the city. In particular, there's now one that goes on and off in the alley between Kingsland and Syracuse on the south end. This is where a female student at Washington University was once sexually assaulted and beaten so bad she nearly died. She was accosted when she went down the back stairs of her apartment to the laundry room in the basement. Apparently, someone was waiting in the alley. A year or so ago, there were three very loud shots in succession in or near the alley. Police officers walked the alley looking for casings. This points out how important lighting can be. A police officer responding to a shots fired call doesn't want to come across a dark patch in an alley or a street. Someone could be hiding. It's surprising how indifferent everyone in City Hall is to a matter that can put citizens and police officers at risk. Things continue to get worse in a loop. Blick Art Supply has finally closed. It was one of the largest tenants in a loop. Across the street from them, Sneakers Perfection is having a moving sale. Lucy's on the Loop just closed. T-Mobile closed not long ago. Cicero's will be closed 6 years this month, and the space has stayed vacant all that time. While there has been an obsession with Costco in recent years, the Loop continues to get worse. There's a saying that when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Councilman McMahon does not believe in following this advice. At the April 24th City Council meeting, he made several false comments having to do with me. Since then, he's been trying to twist and turn what he said and only digging himself in deeper. He said, I was a supporter of Gerald Tears, meaning I supported him being selected by the council to replace Tim Kusick. That was a false statement. I did not support him or anyone. But I did think he should have been able to make his case for being selected without Councilman McMahon trying to do his Perry Mason imitation. Councilman McMahon claimed I said the Bar Association was investigating members of the council. That is also a false statement. I said no such thing. Councilman McMahon claimed I said the Attorney General was investigating members of the council. That is also a false statement. Councilman McMahon really went over the top when he claimed that since I had talked about members of the council being investigated by the FBI, specifically him, Someone has been driving through his neighborhood, stopping at his and his neighbor's houses, saying the FBI was out to get him. This was putting himself and his family in danger, according to the councilman. I cannot find where I said any such thing. I've never said FBI in any context. I asked Councilman McMahon if he could point out where I said the FBI was investigating anyone. He has been unable to do so. So something I did not say was putting him, his family, and his neighbors in danger. That is a pretty bizarre claim. It's interesting that Councilman McMahon has no details about the danger he claims to be in. Does someone threaten him? It seems he claims to have had a conversation with this mysterious threatening person or persons. Did this person have a weapon of some kind? Were his neighbors threatened in some manner? If Councilman McMahon felt so threatened, did he file a police report or talk to someone at the police department, the chief maybe? Since Councilman McMahon is unable to back up his claims, that can have no credibility, and neither can he. Thank you for listening to my comments.
Our next request to speak is Michael Rippey, and I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Hello, council members. I just have a few comments.
If you could please give your name and address.
Yes, sir. My name is Michael Rippey. I live at 526 Kingdell. And directly across from my house is a large apartment building right at 170 and Del Mar. And I live directly across the street. I just want to preface this by saying I'm a big fan of that development. I love it. I think it helps the neighborhood. I think it helps our property value. But we have been putting up with a lot. Construction starts shortly after 6 o'clock, 5 days a week. I've got a four-year-old. That's an obvious problem. And I feel like at this point I'm bothering the police when I call to say that, you know, the construction, as far as I'm concerned, it's supposed to start at 7 o'clock. It's a weekly occurrence that it does not. Another issue is some of their subcontractors and utility companies on my property. I came home today and they were getting ready to dig about 15 feet from the street in the middle of my yard. And it took me calling the police officer down to explain to them that they only had a 6-foot easement. Well, every house down the whole street, they had already done this in the middle of these people's yard without any sort of authorization. And today they dug directly on top of a probably 200-foot oak tree. And I've got an arborist coming tomorrow to assess the damage, but it's unfortunately, it might be the end of that beautiful historic tree, biggest one in the neighborhood. So I just have those concerns, among others, that the streets are getting torn up beyond belief. Although I'm for the development, a lot of us directly around there are suffering. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is Gerald Tears.
Thank you. Gerald Tears, 7345 Chamberlain. In recent interviews for appointment of a replacement council member, several council members strongly emphasized having correct information, facts, and transparency. I certainly agree. The city has an obligation to provide the facts for citizens to evaluate large projects, bond issues, tax changes, bills in council, etc. So how is University City government doing with transparency, with providing the facts? Unfortunately, not very well so far. Let's look first at Prop F, since that is both recent and also targeted to be brought to the voters again next year, per Mr. Rose's list of goals, which was presented a few months ago. For Prop F, a tax increase, the city sent out a large and expensive flyer to voters. That was an obvious place to provide the plain facts and allow citizens to make an informed decision. However, that was not done. The flyer contained hardly any information. It was remarkably fact-free. The only useful number given was the $8.5 million pension deficit amount. There was not even a figure for how much money the tax was expected to raise, which is the most basic number needed. The flyer had general statements, fancy graphic design, and what I would term an emotional appeal style instead of instead of actual plain facts. That is not transparency. Instead, the flyer directed citizens to come to meetings and ask questions or to read unhelpful online resources. The meeting I went to provided very little information, mostly just restating what was in the flyer. That is becoming a pattern where the city will not make any statements about proposals or projects, but rather steers people to consultant reports or complex legal documents and contracts. Bills being voted on are described only by the required minimum legal description. Citizens must search online, find, and read the full council packet in order to learn what the bills really relate to. There's not even a link provided to the full packet. It's not acceptable to make citizens find and search dense legal documents to get the facts, which should be plainly and publicly disclosed. Those documents technically provide the legal minimum disclosure, sure, but in reality can confuse more than they explain. The legal minimum description of a bill does not even give its purpose. This minimum disclosure is not transparency. It is just the least possible information that can be given out. Real transparency in these matters should include a simple statement of facts and figures, clearly explaining how much money is involved, where the money comes from, how it is spent, how the spending accomplishes the desired results, and how the money can be traced in the budget. Bills before council need at least simple descriptions. I'm not bashing the current council. This lack of facts is a tradition in cities and not just University City. The street repair vote several years ago was no better, nor was the Costco project, which apparently confused even the council members at the time, let alone the citizens, despite many public meetings. The city, I believe, has both the ability and the duty to provide the plain facts and numbers to citizens when their votes are requested on money matters and when large projects or expenditures are involved. Such information will not overwhelm or concern or confuse citizens. Citizens are generally smart, and people who don't want to read the details do not have to. Likewise, a short statement of what a bill is about can and should be given at each reading. That would improve transparency and accountability in government and seems to violate no laws. This council has recently emphasized facts, correct information and transparency. Presumably that means this council intends to take transparency seriously by, among other things, clearly explaining the supporting facts, reasons, numbers, plans, etc., for all large projects and ballot proposals, and briefly stating what each bill before council is actually about, in addition to reading the legally minimum required description. That will be a good first step towards transparency. The sooner it comes, the better. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tears. That was one of the few times in history. That was exactly 5 minutes long, to a T. Before we move into the first council comments, which I think normally we don't have probably any council comments, I wanted to take a minute to introduce Keena Dean, who is joining us tonight. She is helping our city clerk. I think this may portend for her that she may have to substitute every now and then when our city clerk is gone. So Keena, welcome tonight. We're glad to have you with us. You're being taught by the best. So I'll now move forward. If there are no, are there any council comments for this section? If not, we will move forward into the public hearing. I would like to open the public hearing at 6:44 for liquor license for 7-Eleven Sales Corporation doing business at 7-Eleven Store, 8159 Olive Boulevard, 63130. Madam Clerk, do we have any comments that we've received either in writing or with someone wanting to speak?
None at this time.
I would therefore declare this hearing closed at 6:44 p.m. I would also like to then open the second public hearing, which is for fiscal year 24 proposed annual operating budget and capital improvement projects at 6:45. Madam Clerk, do we have any written comments or any requests to speak at this time?
None at this time.
Therefore, I will close this hearing at 6:45 p.m. I will now move forward to agenda item number K, consent agenda. We have one item on it, the Greensmore Agreement. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this item, item L1, ask that you consider approval of a liquor license for a 7-Eleven Corporation's doing business as 7-Eleven Store 20118Q at 8159 Olive Boulevard, 63130. Happy to respond to any questions that you might have regarding this application.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Mr. Rose, and also to the mayor, I would ask that before we take a vote on this is to not take a vote and push it back to the next council meeting. And the reason that I say that is because this store has been in the neighborhood or has been in that area for years. And this is a store that people not only drive to, but they walk to. This is very close to neighborhoods in that area. And my concern is that I haven't had a chance to talk to my colleague Stacy about this, our liquor license, but I haven't talked to some key people that live on 82nd Street. And I just want to make sure that they are aware that this is happening. And just to kind of get their feelings about what's happening, that there may be a liquor license that we approve for the 7-Eleven. Never had any problem with 7-Eleven at all. And it has always been quiet and well-maintained store. And now it's under, I guess, corporate management now. But I just want to make sure that the people that live in that area are aware that we're approving or not approving or this liquor license is on our agenda.
Was there a change in ownership, or is this just and again, I realize we may have no one here who can answer this question, or is this just a decision by whomever the owner is to, I assume, follow the lead of the other businesses along Olive that are selling liquor? I'm assuming the applicant is not here.
Mayor, I'm not aware that this is a change of ownership, but since the applicant is not here, we certainly don't have any concern regarding delaying this until your next council meeting.
Yeah, I normally wouldn't need, with all respect to my colleague, but Smotherson, I'm not sure I'd even agree with him about waiting, except for the fact that there's no one here to answer the questions that we've got.
Right.
And to me, I think if you're not here to answer the questions, then I think that would say that we may want to have a little bit of time. Mike, and Councilmember Smotherson, the reason I'm saying this only that I am maybe making incorrect assumption that 7-Eleven is wanting to follow suit with the Amoco station, the Quick Trip, to not be at a competitive disadvantage. But with that being said, first off, there is no motion on the floor at this time. So unless Mr. Rose is wanting us to push forward on a motion, there is not one on the floor. So we can take it as you made a report and then simply move to another item, unless someone has a strong feeling the other way.
Honorable Mayor and council members, my intention would be to place the item on your next agenda. Yeah.
I do think that whoever on staff is, you may want to suggest that the applicant come to the next meeting. Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. And just very quickly, I appreciate your statement. And yes, sir, I definitely understand that they are trying to just follow suit. Again, this is a store that actually has been part of that neighborhood for a long time.
Yep.
And this is a new change for that. And I just want to make sure that some key people that live on that street are aware of what's happening. And that's all. That's all I want to do is make sure that they're aware. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor and council members, we'll ensure that the applicant is aware that this was not a consent item, that it will be placed on the city manager's report.
And if I can, I see that that Mr. Wall is here. And Greg, is there any way that, since we've all seen that the library is getting ready to shut down to get ready to reopen. Can we get an update from Patrick on where the library is, if that would be possible?
Yes. Mr. Wall, would you like to come forward and provide a update regarding the library?
Mayor Crow, members of the council, Mr. Rose, thank you for letting me come up and tell you about this. And I apologize for the delay in getting the report to you. We've had just an ongoing series of not setbacks, but things coming up. So yes, as what we hope to do right now is to we'll be closed on June 18th for Father's Day, June 19th for Juneteenth, and then close over at 6900 on the 20th and remain closed for the remainder of that week, as we have two sets of movers moving things from 6900, the last of the items for you from UUM, and moving it into 6701. Our hope is that all the remaining inspections go well and that we're able to open on June 26th then as a soft opening. Because of the flood, the February flood, we still have a, we'll be less ready for the full grand opening than we'd hoped. We won't have an elevator complete until October. We're waiting for the end caps and some of the replacement shelving to arrive. Just because of lead times on that, that it won't be ready until in early fall. And then the elevator, we hope the parts are in and it's complete by October. But that also is not always going according to schedule. Our hope is to have a grand opening, a grand reopening in the fall, October or November at this point. And we'd like to invite all members of council, the mayor, Mr. Rose, and any city staff to come over and tour with us next week as we're getting ready to go. And then, you know, once we're open, and then we'll have a big reopening party, hopefully in the fall. And can I answer any questions for the mayor?
Are there any questions of Mr. Wall? I mean, I think we all recognize the stress this has probably put you and your staff under, and the patrons as well.
Yeah, and everyone's been great about it. And we'd like to thank the council and the entirety of University City for their patience with this.
Yep. Any questions? Hearing none. Mr. Wall, thank you very much. Thank you for good luck on the move. As we go through the rest of the agenda, there is no new business. There is no old business. Are there any reports from any of the commissions that any council members would like to speak of? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I just wanted to let everybody know, and I'm the council liaison for Arts and Letters Commission. And one of the things that's actually happened, and we had the first Starlight concert was last Monday. And I want to let everybody know the second concert was yesterday. And these concerts are well, and when I say well attended, it's overwhelming, and it's a good thing to see, but we're doing well with how people are coming to the concerts and enjoying concerts. When you have a good band and good sound, it draws attention. So again, that's happening. But one of the things that I did want to mention that is bringing to light some of the issues that we're having, and that is, and Mr. Rose is aware of it, and we've talked about this, in that I appreciate that the lights were turned on the field, because that helped a great deal. Last week, the lights weren't on, and when the concert ended, everybody was in the dark. The sound man could only use the lights from the stage to break down equipment, but when we had the lights on the field, that helped a great deal. So it's important to keep those on. And another thing that I wanna hopefully we look at is why we don't have a paved parking lot and drive through, because people were parking all kinds of ways. In the parking lots and blocking cars. We had to make announcements to have cars moved on several occasions, and that's fine. I'm just, again, this is part of the report that I'm just making. We've got a stage that is a zillion years old. It is not handicap accessible, and I just want to mention that and bring that up again. And other than that, the concerts are great. Please come out. There's another concert next Monday. Thank you.
If anyone got to see the social media posts of the first night's concert, that was actually, I'm not sure who put those out, but those are incredible. Both the photos and the videos of the first night's a concert. And Boyd, you know, it's an interesting question. I really don't know why the parking lot hasn't ever been paved at Heman, but it has not been. Very quickly, I would like to, Mr. Fuller, do you have comments? Are you itching on the? I'll wait then. I hope that everyone got a chance to see throughout the city the mannequins in the loop, because the mannequins in the loop probably got better publicity this year than almost all the other years almost combined. And I'm not sure whether it was the quality of it. I'm not sure if it was the talents that Audrey and our city staff put together and getting the PR out, but it really was incredible. And Audrey does an incredible job with that project. And the number of folks that were posting photos of the mannequins on social media about University City were incredible. And then I just on a personal note, to the city manager staff, I appreciate the fact that if you drive by City Hall at night during the month of June, you'll see the rainbow lights on the City Hall of University City. So I appreciate that and respect it. Mr. Fuller.
Brief Stormwater Commission backup, little follow-up from our meeting with MSD. We're going to have a day trip with MSD and the members of Stormwater Commission to look at some of the debris and some of the issues that we're having. And one of the members who's eager to get into the tunnel that will be discussed. But we're quite excited about the fact that it's the public relations person that really has put this into to control. So we're having, I'm not going to announce the date, and this is not a group venture, but I'm told that we're going to have a kind of a day outing with MSD early in July.
If there are no other comments from members of council, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of action, and litigation involving a public governmental body and any confidential privileged communications between the governmental body or its representatives or attorneys and individual identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made to go into closed session by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Fuller. Councilmember Smotherson. Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Crowe.
Aye. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.